All right, we're live. We're live. All right. All right. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the huddle. Me, Coach Muddle, Nevada Nick. I forgot the holiday was Tuesday, and I figured that you and you know, Billy will possibly be joining us. I figured you guys needed a couple of days to kind of digest. You know, I especially the person that's not here that talks so much smack about the front four and they forgot to show up. You know what I mean?
Well, Sunday night I was pissed. I was really pissed. I was saying about if that ref ever, officiated, if they won't do, I said, forget about D batteries. I'm bringing my car battery to throw out.
I saw it.
And obviously I'm joking around. I don't think anybody should throw anything at the refs. And look, I've heard two trains of thought. I mean, obviously there's some people just say, wow, they're whining and da, 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 and look, what happened in the Bengals game the week, 2 weeks prior, and the Eagles game are completely different. The Bengals penalty was completely blatant. You know, Mahomes is already hurt, Coach.
Right.
You had to make that call. When it's blatant and obvious and, you know, you got to make that call. And look, it sucks. It's a hard way to end a game, and especially a championship game. And the Chiefs know that. A couple of years ago, before they got to the Super Bowl, they lose to the Patriots and go to overtime on an offsides call. I mean, right. That's really, right. Really tough. It's tough to you know, take. It is. And, you know, as a fan, it sucks. But to me, for the people that are saying, well, the Eagles had all these opportunities, I agree. I understand. But my point is there is not one offensive holding call on either offensive line all game.
Right.
There's not one holding call on either defense, any of them, all game. So you're pretty much saying we're letting them play. Now, to a degree, that doesn't mean if somebody's running down the field, you could tackle them. But to a degree, you know, they were letting them play, Coach. Okay?
I agree with that.
And you throw a flag at that moment, Coach. 3rd and 8, that wasn't catchable. When he held him, he was behind the line of scrimmage. I'm not saying it wasn't a hold. I'm not. But it wasn't an egregious hold. It didn't keep him from catching the ball. And if you look at that play, Coach – like, you could question the Quez Watkins thing because he got touched early, you know, on that pass he dropped. You know, trust me. But on that, I guarantee you there was a minimum of 10 of those, you know, throughout the whole game on either team, you know, where they could have called it. And to make that call, it was just ridiculous. And not just that, it wasn't the official who was right by him. It's the one all the way in
right.
The end, which drives me crazy too. And, you know, look, you had a great Super Bowl. And now it's going to be the one that you just don't know. I mean, yeah, the Chiefs are the Super Bowl champions. I'm not saying they're not. But you know what? First of all, this was the first Super Bowl you have where two black quarterbacks are playing each other. And they both balled out. And they played great. And Jalen Hurts had a great game. And here you are now, down 3. With 1:50 to go in a timeout and your opportunity to go either tie, and I think there's a very good chance they at least tie and you're going overtime. But, Coach, they have a chance to win that game. And you look, if people don't think so, let's not forget the Chiefs-Bills game. They scored like 3 or 4 times in the 2 minutes, okay? So there is definitely a chance the Eagles could have scored a touchdown and won. Now, yeah, I know it's woulda, coulda, shoulda, but to me – you really kind of put a black mark on a great Super Bowl, and Jalen Hurts deserved the opportunity. If it was an egregious hold, I'd be the first one to say, look, he held. And look, I give the Eagles credit. None of them said it's the one play, and it really isn't the one play. I mean, Hurts' fumble was hard.
Right.
But, like, you go look at that. Go look at that play, and trust me, I looked at it. I checked all of it. The ref reacted to the Chiefs. He could not see – that the guy was on, because this was the one where I'm talking about where it was 3rd and short, okay?
Right.
The ref couldn't see. I looked at it. He reacted to the Chiefs players all saying he false started, and then he threw the flag. And then the next play, is
the, well, they reacted too when the Eagles did the same thing. When Kelce got up and started pointing, they did the same thing. You know,
the thing before he hiked the ball. So, you know, they threw that flag, and then look, Hurts makes a mistake, and then the punt return. That's bad. But here's my point is, you know what? After all that stuff, the Eagles were still in the game, and one flag that shouldn't have been called is what ultimately shuts down and takes them completely out of the game. Yeah, they made mistakes. Yeah, the second half was bad. And personally, what I think happened, I think the Eagles, who played a better first half, no doubt, except for that fumble, they saw Mahomes limping and were up 10.
Yeah.
I wonder a little bit if that complacency set in, like, uh-oh, we have a good chance here. We're going to win the Super Bowl.
Right. And you held Patrick Mahomes to 7 points going into half.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I you know, and honestly, if you go back before the hold, I think if Gardner Johnson makes that saving shoestring tackle, if he just lets him score there,
right,
you get the ball back with over 3 minutes, two timeouts, mm-hmm. and the way you're moving the football, I thought in that spot, because you were trying to let him score anyway. What after
I,
that,
I thought they, I said they should have done was get a guy on the sideline and then grab him and actually take him and put him in the end zone. Take him and, like, you know,
yeah,
what I'm
yeah, 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 yeah.
Drag him into the end zone. Drag him into the end zone.
But you can't. You once he sits down, as soon as you touch him, he's dead, right there.
You don't let him know you're going to do it. Have a guy on the sideline so he can't go. He went down at the 1 yard line.
Right.
So if you grab him at the three, you could have took.
Oh, him right. Yes. If you grab him at three and push him in, you're right.
And
yes. Took him
where his momentum's going in, and he's going in at the three.
Right.
Because you know you're too close. But no, I mean, and then the other thing obviously was Andy Reid, the Eagles defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just a fact, and that's what I said I was concerned about. Coach was coaching, and if you look at it, I don't think the Eagles defense is a fugazi, but. When they played top 10 offenses, Dallas late in the year, okay, when they played the Lions in the first week, they gave up 35 points. It was 38-35 Eagles, but they didn't look as good that game. It's the first week, so. Mm-hmm. But they gave up a bunch of points against the Cowboys. And then if you look, the rest of them, you know, they played all the AFC South teams,
right.
Not very good. All the NFC East teams, except for the Cowboys. And the first time they played the Cowboys, no Dak, obviously. Now they did shut down the Vikings, but that's Kirk Cousins on
but also you got burned on the same play at the same spot of the field.
Yeah. Third and three too, and huge plays and just on different sides.
But also as your defensive back, as soon as he saw him in motion, that dude beat him across the he just stopped and went back. There was nobody left to cover him.
Yeah, what Angelo said, spot on, too.
Yeah, Ange, thanks for jumping in, buddy, man.
It's spot on, Angelo. And it's just – it's tough. It's a tough pill to swallow, and it's just a shame because now it's that, what if the Eagles got the ball? You know, what happens? Right. What goes on? And, you know, I just – and you know what I would love to be able to do is get in my DeLorean, and because I guarantee it, if the shoe was on the other foot,
yeah,
if this was happening to the Chiefs, they'd all be bitching just like we were.
Absolutely, absolutely. Look! If I don't care what team you root for, if it happened to your team, you would be bitching about it.
Yeah,
you would be. It doesn't matter, you know. So,
and if you heard too on the play, Doug Peterson gave that to Andy Reid. He said they over pursued too much and told Andy to call that play, and he did. So, you know, Doug. Yeah, thank Lurie for giving you your first head coaching job. I know they fired him, but come on, Doug, you won a Super Bowl win. It's the only team to give you a chance to be the starting QB, and this is how you treat us, Doug? I just can't believe my biggest problem is, I mean, obviously I hate it the first time too because he's 10 yards open. But when that happens, you get on the sideline and say, what happened here, and fix it. And then you literally come down in the same quarter – on the almost the same exact circumstances, third and three, but to the other side, and the same thing happens.
Same thing.
I mean, that's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. And Billy, I know you got something to say, but you know, another thing I heard too because Rob Ninkovich, who used to play for the Patriots, he was pissed about the call too. And he brought up a very interesting thing, and it just shows you the intricacies of Belichick and how he coaches. And he said whenever he coached teams who wore white jerseys, he made sure the corners and everybody wore white gloves because you can't see as much. And that's how brilliant he is.
Yep.
I wouldn't even think of something like that.
Right. But,
and he thought that could have been part of it too. The Eagles guy had black gloves on.
Mm. Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. You hit everything on the head. I mean, it's unfortunate, you know. You'll see, you're hearing no excuses from me. I mean, we didn't get it done, plain and simple. But for everybody that's the hate and the infatuation with the Eagles fan base, to me, is unbelievable. And it shows. It just shows. Like, come on. Oh, you guys are trash. Your road to the Super Bowl was trash. Like, get out of here. We played playoff teams.
Oh, you played. Hey, look, you played.
Oh, I don't want to hear it.
You played your schedule. You played your schedule. You played the people who got in the paper.
And
they were all playoff teams.
Well, I don't worry about the playoff teams, but they played their schedule and they were dominant through the schedule, too. They really were. I mean, you know, I know we have the two other losses, but Hurts is out. Like, and then they dominated in the playoffs, too. They're a very good team. Like, you don't take they that are. From them.
No, they are, but again,
haters, man.
The big issue now is you, well, take the coordinators out of it, is how many guys are you going to be able to keep? Because you're going to have to back the Brinks truck up because Jalen Hurts was not a first-round pick, so you don't have that option to franchise him and work something out later.
Yeah.
You've got to pay the guy now. Because this is the fourth year going into his fourth year.
The big question is going to be, and he will get paid the offseason, Coach. It's going to happen.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Think Howie's smart. So
he got more room than ever. What are you talking about here? We have more room than ever. We're not you.
But, yes, we're but not we got
– no, you figure out a way to pay Saquon.
The Giants
happen to be have the third largest cap space, and we haven't cut Kenny Golladay yet.
And you'll still find a way to screw it up every time.
Yeah, well, I mean that might be true, but I think it's different.
No, now. I'm sorry, you're mistaken. We have a new general manager actually knows Gettleman's how to act. Gone. Gettleman's gone, so you know.
With the Eagles, the big thing's going to be because they're talking about Hurts getting $50 million, and Hurts said the only thing that matters to him is winning. And I'm not saying he has to do this, but I just think the kind of guy Hurts is.
Hey,
maybe he takes whatever it is, a team friendly type deal, whether it's prorated over certain years or I mean he's got to get paid, I get it, but he needs to realize too, you know, there was the top 12 quarterback hits last year, 11 didn't make the playoffs. The one who did is the exception, and that's Pat Mahomes.
It didn't kick in yet though.
Well, no, yeah, it did. He was $38 million last
year. Oh, was he? Okay. Yeah. I thought it kicks in this year.
They will be done after this year.
Good for the Chiefs though too was they hit a lot of draft picks. You get Creed Humphrey, who's one of the best centers in football.
Yep.
You get Trey Smith, who's a great guard. They had a sixth and seventh round, you know, corners playing in the secondary. They've done good with their draft picks.
Seventh round running back.
Yes, and he was really good, Pacheco. And he ended up overtaking for Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Which, by the way, was my prop bet that I hit on. Thank you. The over.
Yeah,
you remember.
Did. Coach did.
Thank you.
It's just going to be – you know, I'm hoping that he doesn't get this crazy contract and realizes, like, you need it to spread around. Because then you have depth. The Eagles are going to lose some of their depth. I think Fletcher Cox is gone. We'll see about Graham. I don't know. Now, I thought Kelsey was going to leave if they won. But the way they lost, I wonder if Kelsey may come back. And maybe they take Juergens and put him at guard. Because Selamalu's gone, the lineman. He's going to get, they think, $12 million a year or so. The Eagles aren't going to pay him that. They'll either draft a guard or try to, you know, maybe move Juergens over for a year if Kelsey doesn't retire. I think Miles Sanders is gone. I think they're going to try to either draft a running back or bring somebody in. I think they feel like they have a good line.
The mock drafts I've seen, the kid from Texas, back from Texas, has been going to the Eagles.
I don't see them draft a running back first round.
No, well, you have two picks, remember? Your top 10 pick is they're saying DN, and then the one at the back of the draft.
Edge rusher.
It'll be the
edge rusher from Clemson is what everybody's saying, the edge rushers who we're going to go with.
Yeah, well, Miles Murphy. But honestly, I don't know that because I think they're going to like, obviously, Will Anderson, who's not going to be there, Miles Murphy, and then Tyree Wilson. But if none of those three are there by 10, they may go cornerback. But there's a lot of things to look at before that we get to the draft. Do they re-sign T.J. Gardner-Johnson? Do they yes. re-sign Bradbury? That's the no. two big ones. If Bradbury doesn't get re-signed, they are going to get a corner. And it could be Joey Porter out of Penn State.
I'd rather get C.J., honestly.
Yeah.
I'd get Bradbury.
No, I agree. I think he's going to be a priority for this year.
He's got to be.
And then it's – yeah, I agree. And then it's going to be kind of, you know, what do you do? You know, I mean, I think they feel like offense, they're there, they're fine. But, you know, I think what got exposed too is they always undervalue linebackers. And
yeah.
Our linebacker play was trash.
Terrible. It was terrible.
Trash.
And, you know, and look, I will say too,
trash.
Little disappointed in the defensive line. But you know what, though, too, like Jonathan Gannon, if you're not getting pressure with four, maybe blitz a little bit. Maybe send an extra guy or two.
You right. don't send the whole freaking sink on third right. and short.
Yeah.
One. We haven't got to him all day, so we're going to send the house. Like, come on, dude. Yeah. I can't wait to see him at this clinic. I got 50 questions to ask him, and I'm going to let him have it.
Let me tell you something, Coach. I guarantee you he is not showing up anymore. He is now the head coach of the Arizona Cardinals.
And
he is not going to be at the clinic. I promise
you. It shows you the shit organization the Arizona Cardinals are. Because after that Super Bowl, I'd really be like, hey, do we want to make him a coach? And I'm not trying to shit on Jonathan Gannon. But your biggest thing there in Arizona is getting Kyler Murray right. You just gave him a $200 million.
That surprised me. But that surprised me. I thought they were going to go with an offensive guy and you know, try to fix him or whatever. But that hire surprised me.
It's tough, too, because they got an older team. J.J. Watt's going now.
Right.
The offensive line's older. DeAndre Hopkins is going to be gone in the offseason. Mm-hmm. I think he might end up with the Bears. They're talking. So, there's a lot of
– Yes.
Here you go, Billy. Yes. He's using your term.
Yes, he is a freaking mental midget. You cannot get him right.
Yeah, Patrick I don't disagree, Billy. I think his problem is he don't work hard.
Listen, right.
not Jalen Hurts. He doesn't right. work in.
Patrick Peterson never says a good or bad word about anybody.
Yeah.
He's the black version of the clear eyes guy.
Yeah.
He is. He Coach is. Taylor. So for him to say – Kyler Murray only cares about Kyler Murray.
Yeah.
That tells you everything you need to know.
Mm-hmm.
He is a mental freaking midget. Shout out to my guy, the real Coach JB.
Yeah. If you watched Hard Knocks, like it was just every week, it was like the same shit. And then it wouldn't happen. And then it's like, well, this week we're going to, you know, come on, guys. And that's why I never liked Kingsbury. Me and Coach said he should have been fired last year.
Yep.
And Kyler just, I don't like his attitude. I don't like his just everything.
Let me tell you something. Nick Saban, Vince Lombardi, Bill Belichick, you put them all there, nothing changes. He is a mental midget.
Mm.
He's a clown.
Yeah, I mean
an asshat. Terrible, man.
Yeah, I mean, I disagree
with you're right.
If he got like an Andy Reid or something, maybe it'd be different. I don't know. I mean, but I mean, Andy Reid's up there now. He's a number. I mean, of active coaches, no doubt, he's number two.
Right.
And he's really going up because if you look at it, I mean, like McNabb was a franchise quarterback, but he's done a lot with not great quarterbacks. Now you got him a great quarterback, and he's won two in 4 years.
You know, he's got 100 wins in both places.
Yeah,
I want to say he's one of the only coaches to do that.
And he's pretty much going in when they were at the bottom and build them both up.
Yeah.
You know, so mm-hmm. that's big too. And, you know, 5 straight AFC championship games in Chiefs, 4 NFC championship games in Philly. I mean, that's incredibly impressive. And I think it's a little bit, it shows you that it's like Belichick and Brady. And when they paired up, you got the best coach with the best quarterback. And if you look in early 2000s, that was a different league. It was more defensive. Now you got probably the best offensive coach in football and the best quarterback. And you're seeing what can happen when you have it. And like Tyreek Hill, I think Andy actually likes this offense better, because you remember Andy with the Eagles, he likes it where you can't single on one guy. That right. You know, it's this guy this game, that guy this game, that guy this game. So there isn't a, hey, this guy's their best guy, this is who they go to, take him out of the game. And that's why I think the offense had a little jump this year. I don't think per se it's as good in a big game against a tough defense, but still, that's how Andy likes running this offense.
Well, one thing I'd noticed, just, you know, obviously you watched the last, what, three or four games with the Chiefs because of the playoffs, obviously. You know, Travis Kelce, part of his, I don't know if you want to call it mystique, or, you know, because you can't cover him, he's not running a route. He's playing playground ball.
100%.
You know, he's just going to get open. Just go and get open. And yeah, that's, I think that's why how does he get lost? Because he's not running a route. Like, you know, you draw it up.
Yeah.
And I think it really mind screws the DBs and people who are covering him, because they're expecting him to run a simple drag or, you know, a post, and he's not.
Yeah, and what's great about it too is Mahomes. They just have this like thing where it's like he knows he's what he's going to do, and you know, it's a special combination. And people who want to make him, and look, Kelce's up there. He is. But I would still go, I mean, look, and Gronk had some injuries, but I think what Gronk brought to the table, like physicality-wise and blocking, yeah, kind of puts him ahead. And go look at Gronk touchdown wise. I mean, Gronk just caught touchdowns like insane, but Kelce's special. Yeah. He really is. He's just a nightmare. He's a nightmare. And then, like, when I saw how open he was early, I was like, oh, you gotta be kidding me. And then they finally went and did what I said, coach, on the show. They put Slay on him, and right, he started doing that. And
even after that, then they ran zone and they switched. They ended up switching again.
Yeah, so but he didn't really – early on he got him, but he didn't really get him late. But if you look at it, the two big touchdowns that we were talking about earlier,
yeah,
they were worried about Kelce, and then that's why it happened. And they're switching about him, and then they fucking let – honestly, me and Billy, I could have been on the one side on the one and Billy on the other, and we would have could have caught him and easily run them in no time. And that's how bad that is. And, like, I'm not even, like, joking. I'm being serious. I could have been out there now and just walked and been like, here – throw me the ball, and it could have just walked in. I mean, that's bad.
It was bad. It was bad. And then what I didn't understand is, if we're not getting any pressure, stop bringing four.
You got to blitz, yeah.
Get. Oh no. This is what you do. Then you take one of the linemen off, because obviously they're not doing anything. Put an extra linebacker on. Mm-hmm. Try to stop the bleeding. Try to stop it a little bit. Make him beat us with his arm. Make him do it. Instead of giving him both, you gonna give him both? Make it beat us.
Yeah.
Well, I think both D lines did do a crappy job. I know the Chiefs got credit for two sacks, but that was only because Jalen Hurts ran out of bounds
right
behind the line. It wasn't like they were weren't sacks. I wouldn't call them sacks. I mean, yeah, you know,
the Chiefs rush created a game changing play. What are you talking about? The fumble.
No, he just fumbled.
Nobody touched him. He just dropped the ball and kicked it.
But if they didn't touch him, they surrounded him. It was like, well, damn.
No, he doesn't kick that ball, I think, because he kicked it and you know, off to the side. And, I mean, not on purpose, obviously, but he kicked the football. And, you know, I mean, if he doesn't kick the football, there's a good chance he falls on top of it and we move on with our day.
And if
you know,
people want to get mad at Jalen, here's my thing. He's got the ball and so much on his back, it's ridiculous. Right. It's going to happen. It's just going to – they expect so much from him. I mean, you look at that game too. We couldn't really run the football. All the running was going by Hurts. I mean, the running backs were very disappointing. I mean, we couldn't get the run game going. It was all – Jalen Hurts. I mean, you know, he was just unbelievable. And, you know, that's another thing we need to improve and say, look, you know, we obviously he can still run, but me and coach have said it about Lamar and these other guys, and we've been proven right. And I understand he's a big guy and all, but if you play him like you're playing him, he's not going to play much into his 30s. He's not. They got to tone that down and think about long-term with him, or else he's going to get hurt 1 year too. It's going to happen. Kyler Murray, Lamar Jackson, they have now both been hurt ending the season the last two seasons. And me and Coach preached about it year after year.
You're right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I mean, I hope they, you know, be more vigilant of that, obviously. But yeah, it was, I mean, look, both the defensive lines, yeah, I think both of them, but honestly, I think with the Chiefs too, I think the Chiefs were pissed that all they heard was Eagles offensive line, Eagles defensive line, Eagles offensive line, Eagles defensive line, Eagles offensive line. Their offensive line played really well, and they're good. I mean, Creed Humphreys is probably, after Kelce, the best center in football. Trey Smith, one of the best guards in football. Joe Tooney hasn't been as good, but he's still one of the better guards in football. And then you got Orlando Brown Jr., who, a hell of a run blocker.
Oh, yeah.
Not as good
sure.
in the pass, but he hasn't been as good either. He was a really good right tackle, but he wanted to move to left because that's where you get paid more.
Right, so, right.
You know,
and that's a big question mark too. They franchise? He's played on the franchise tag this year. They have to pay him, otherwise he's a free agent. So, you know, that's a big question mark for the Chiefs. Right. And I just to change gears a little bit, because I just heard this today, that the Bears have put CJ Stroud on the block.
What do you mean, the number one pick?
No, they're putting CJ Stroud on the block. They're gonna draft a quarterback. I'm sorry, CJ Stroud. I'm sorry. Who's the quarterback that's there now? No, who's the quarterback for the Bears now?
Justin Fields.
Yeah, Justin Fields on the block. My bad.
Honestly, big woo. Think, what do you get from that?
I think they would get a first rounder.
Let me tell you, after their bye, Wait a second. After the bye, they turned it around and they were kind of scoring points. And, they were running the ball a little bit more. They were letting him be him a little bit and whatnot. And I'm telling you, there's some teams out there that
And Billy, he had no offensive line and no weapons. Now, Hurts made a huge jump this year, no doubt. But let's not forget, they put some weapons around them, and I do think that helped. Now, Hurts obviously did the work himself, too, and improved, you know, his accuracy, reading defenses, everything, no doubt. But, I think with Fields, they're going to say he had no offensive line. Mm-hmm. They could run, it's going to help your running game just for the fact that you got to watch out for him. And if you have weapons on the outside, I'm not saying it's going to be a top 10 pick, but I do think somebody will give him a late first round.
Look, let me tell you something. I could see the Ravens shipping off Lamar Jackson down to Atlanta, getting some picks and taking Stroud and, kind of not skipping a beat. I'm Justin Fields. I'm sorry. I don't know why I keep they both played at Ohio State, okay?
Justin Fields is probably going to have the same thing. They're just going to say, can he get the completion percentage up? Is he going to be able to throw the ball? But no, he showed flashes, and I do think somebody, because look, there's tons.
How about the Jets? Jets.
Well, that's what I heard today, and I think they'd be crazy to do this. Yeah. Supposedly, if they get Rodgers, they're going to give up the number 13th pick.
Wow.
Overall, and to me, it's like to get a quarterback that's only going to be a placeholder for a year or two and then retire. I would give up a first round pick, and you got to pay him a ton of money.
But that's the Jets thing to do, because here's a guy who took $50 million and then turned around and bitched about not having anybody to throw the football to.
Yeah.
If you wanted to win a Super Bowl, you would have taken less money and kept your number one receiver instead of bitching about it. And you gotta go back to, Gronk even said it. I mean, a lot of people called him out because he said, I can win another MVP. Not I can play at an MVP level and help my team win a Super Bowl. It's about me. He's going to be a locker room cancer.
Well, and that's what I worry about with a young team too. Young team that had the offensive and defensive rookies of the year. And two, you got Garrett Wilson who looks really good. Do you want a guy like Aaron Rodgers coming in and frustrating him and maybe setting him back, because now it's a new offense. So Rodgers isn't going to be, he's got to learn a new offense, obviously. And
I don't think he can handle the media, because you got to figure in Green Bay, what do they have? maybe 50, 70 reporters at his locker. New York, you're going to have over 200 guys at your locker every day, and they're not going to accept your, oh, well, I think I'm just going to go in my hut and, you know, meditate about it. They're not accepting that in New York.
I'm going to tell you guys now, unless you're getting Stroud or Young, this is not the draft to go quarterbacks.
I like Levitts
yeah, from Kentucky. I like him too. Yeah.
Richardson's a guy with
a stress potential,
but you can't expect him to play for a year or two.
Like, yep.
He's got some potential.
But I was just gonna say, I mean, other than those two, who are you gonna get? Tyler Van Dyke.
KJ
Jefferson.
Hooker from Tennessee.
Second rounder.
Who can throw the ball 90 yards on a rope.
He also got exposed by Bama.
He didn't.
They didn't. They scored 50 points.
I mean, not Bama, my fault. Georgia.
Yeah, I mean, that's they tough, got though. Exposed by Georgia. It was pouring out. They got overwhelmed early. And then when you're down like that against a team like that, you kind of
Angelo, you're right with that Richardson. He's a project. He's a guy you draft in the third, fourth round. I don't think he's a first round talent.
He's going in the first round.
Oh, you're probably right.
They got him going to the Panthers in some things, so he's going in the first round.
Richardson?
Yeah.
You think he's going in the first round?
Oh, 100% he's going.
With all the halfbacks in
there's only one or two running backs they may
and defensive players in this draft. Defensive players in this draft.
Corner.
This draft is defense heavy.
Well, that's why I said like defensive ends. There's only the three guys, and then after that, the rest are looking probably in the 20s. So that's why I think if the Eagles, if Miles Murphy, Will Anderson, or Tyree Wilson aren't there. I don't know if they go D tackle. I think they may go corner depending on what Bradbury does. And then they may take a running back, but I really believe the Eagles think like they like Kenny Gainwell as a backup. I mean, I don't know if they put him as a starter, but there's plenty of guys out there that they can, you know.
There are so many running backs on the free agent market. So
We don't like Falsky
from the Notre Dame. He's good, but I don't see him. He's not a 10, number 10. No way. If they could trade back maybe and get more picks.
Well, the mock drafts I've been seeing is the Eagles are going to go defense with the top 10 pick, and that the pick at 30 is going to be a running back what I'm seeing.
Last year they could draft more because they had a lot of depth. That's changing now, and they know it.
About Hargrove? He's a free agent. What are you doing with him? For Hargrove.
Yeah, that's another one you're
going to. I mean, because I think he was a big part of that. The reason why
over 10 sacks. I mean,
go Kareem Hunt, go sign Kareem Hunt, and to go with Gainwell, and you're fine with that O-line.
No, I mean
Kareem Hunt.
I agree with that.
You can get Kareem Hunt cheap, Billy. Could probably give him a 1 or 2 year deal at $5 million a year. Like that's trust me. Kareem Hunt would love Philadelphia.
Yep.
And, you know, he's a power running back, and I think the Eagles would rather have that. I think with Sanders, something happened with Sanders. I know supposedly him and Sirianni got into an argument at the Super Bowl during the game, because it was just weird. Like, he'd play and he wouldn't, and they seemed to struggle against good defenses running the ball, and I don't know what it was, but – yeah, I think the Kareem Hunt thing is actually
not bad. You got Josh Jacobs out there, I read today that the what's his name from the Bengals is going to be a cap casualty.
Joe Mixon.
Joe Mixon's going to get cut. You have the Pollard from the Cowboys. You have Saquon Barkley who could be out there. I mean, because I'm sorry, I just can't see paying a running back $15 million. I just love can't.
Pollard just for the explosiveness until you're taking him from the Cowboys. Right. Like this one didn't work out, but when they got Murray, remember when they got Murray from the Cowboys? Yep. That didn't work out, but still, I think I would love Pollard.
Yeah, I think he'd be good.
It's just going to be what's it for? The Eagles aren't going to overpay a running back. It's not going to happen.
But then same with the Giants. I just can't see. I think the Giants will probably franchise tag Barkley and then move on after next year. Is what I think.
They're saying Zeke's going to restructure, but man, like the Dallas doesn't have a ton of money. if somebody's willing to offer Pollard a lot of money, and I don't think they can franchise him, I don't know if the Cowboys are going to be able to really pay it. I mean, you're paying Dak.
No, but if they cut, but they could cut Zeke because then they don't.
Like, they're not going to cut him. So they weren't. But
what they say and what they do are two different things.
They're not going to cut Zeke.
But it saves them $10 million on their salary cap that they could go and keep Pollard. Who would you rather have, Zeke or Pollard? Right now, I'd rather have Pollard. Tell him to go hit the bricks, man.
I would rather have Pollard the last 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
We are talking about Jerry Jones.
Yeah.
Keep forgetting who you're dealing with. You're dealing with Jerry Jones, one of the weirdest, most selfish managers in all the whole shiboy. Yeah, so
like he said about the Eagles, that the Eagles put everything into this year to win a Super Bowl. And it's like, what are you talking about? Like,
we're
a younger team. Like, you know, we didn't put all our chips in to win a Super Bowl this year. And honestly, you look, ever since they lost Jimmy Johnson, and Jimmy put that together, and then Jerry's kind of been like, it's not Daniel Snyder, but it's always his fingerprint.
Right.
And he's a problem, and he's the only owner too that has a post game news conference every week. He's a distraction.
He goes on the radio every week in Dallas. You know, and
he can't help himself.
He can't help himself. You're right.
He's a moron.
Yep.
He's a moron. He's a.
I love it. I love it because it's just great for Eagles fans. There's nothing better than I hate when he goes up to him and he's clapping and sitting there with his freaking smile. There's nothing better. I'm like Stephen A. Smith. Nothing makes me feel better than when I see those freaking, because they are cockroaches, their fans. They are.
I told you, if there was a nuclear war, there'd be three things that would survive.
Yep.
The cockroaches,
bacteria, and
the Cowboys fans. Matter of fact, cockroaches, rats, and Cowboy fans.
Well, that's what I love now, too. It's like, well, you know, we got more Super Bowls than you. And it's like, all right, do you want to talk about shit that was 40 years ago? Like, you know,
It's really funny. So I had a kid today start running his mouth like that. I go, you know, the last time the Cowboys won, you weren't even born yet. So how would you even know what a championship looks like?
I told a guy on my Facebook, I was like, the last time, it was a Redskins fan, it was like, the last time you guys won a Super Bowl, gas was $1.19 a gallon. And a freaking 91 Honda Accord was the baddest thing on the road. Get the heck out of here.
Yeah, it's been a long time for those teams. And, you know, crazy. It would be a long time for the Giants, too, if they didn't have the two kind of just late surges they have those 2 years to really, you know, get into the playoffs and make the miracle run. I mean,
right.
You know, credit right. to Eli, Tom Coughlin, and that defense. And, too, you know, honestly – which I think Spagnuolo's, but I'm surprised nobody's given Spagnuolo a look. I mean, he's a guy who's got four Super
Bowls. Yeah, but Spag said last time he's done being a head coach. He said he's done. He you know what? He figured it out. You know what? I'm better at just being a coordinator.
Yeah, that's fine and good for him.
You know,
I mean,
and like know, some guys are. There's a lot of guys out there like Shermer for the Giant. He's a better coordinator than he was a head coach.
It's the truth. Wade Phillips is another one. Just there a better defensive coordinator than and Michael Johnson. I feel for you, Mike. And look, I mean,
what's up, Mike?
Well, I wonder about the Browns too, because you know they should be better, but it's like you got to wonder about Watson. I mean, he did look rusty. Hopefully, you know, we'll see what happens next year. And that was something I saw, Coach. They talked about how, like, you know, all the quarterbacks have kind of retired that we, you know, that you grew up with in the early 2000s. Mm-hmm. Roethlisberger, Brady, Breeze, you know, all those guys. They had pictures of them. But they said, don't worry, you got all these young kids coming up. And it was Josh Allen, Mahomes, Jalen Hurts, Joe Burrow. And then they had Bill Cosby in a Browns jersey. And I'm not trying to think about like that. All that stuff's terrible. But I thought it was, you know.
But look, he's kind of the old elder statesman in the league now. You know what I mean? I mean, everybody else around is pretty young in, you know, him and David Carr. Him, David Carr, and Derek Carr, and Aaron Rodgers, the three. Oh, Russell Wilson. I forgot about him.
Yeah, that too.
No. Four older statesmen of the league.
Right. Well, there's going to be the quarterback carousel is going to be nuts this year because Carr obviously is out there now.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy G is going to be out there. You know, there's some question about Lamar Jackson, and I think that's very intriguing.
Now, do you go with Huntley? Huntley didn't do bad. Now,
yep. No, I'm not paying Lamar. I'll trade and get what I can get for him and move on.
Lamar, though, you honestly,
he's an MVP. He's first round pick. Yeah, I would think
Russell Wilson gets because he's younger than Russell Wilson too.
Yeah, absolutely. So he's might only like 26. A couple of ones and maybe even a two or a three thrown in there.
Yeah,
yeah.
And if you go to the Jets or the Falcons or whoever it is, and the Falcons got like the number eight pick, if I'm them, I'd think about it. I mean, because I don't know what's going on there, but it's not good. It's not mm-hmm. good. I think Lamar. I don't know what it is, but and look, if I
it's
was
because him, his mom is his agent, that's well, part of the no, problem.
I think supposedly there are $100 million gap between what he wants and what they want to give. I don't know if that's true, but I think he feels like, well, go look at Josh Allen, go look at Joe Burrow, look what the Eagles just did for Jalen Hurts, you know, Patrick Mahomes. They put guys around them he understands they built the offense around him. But he wasn't really given the weapons to succeed. He wasn't.
You're right. And,
you know,
all but also,
other guys.
But also, you got to remember, look, they won that suit. They won the Super Bowl. They backed up the Brinks truck for Flacco, and they weren't able to do anything.
Yeah.
And I got to believe they're not going to get in that same situation again. So they're going to move on from him and get something for him.
It's just crazy to think that because people don't understand too, like, and that's the thing, you know, the Chiefs had a lot of things fall their way this year too. I mean, you know, Cincinnati beats, you know, Ravens really probably should have beat Cincinnati in that game.
Yeah. Yep.
And then, you know, the whole, if the Bills beat Cincy and Cincy, they would have had home field advantage.
Yes.
I don't care what people think. I think the Bills could have beat the Chiefs. I really do. Even you could say, no, you're nuts. But the Bills have played well against them. They beat them earlier this year in Kansas City because the Chiefs don't really run the ball great. And I know they did a little bit this week, but against them, you know, and that's where the Bills, you kind of got to run against them. And Josh Allen just killed the Chiefs.
There's another team in the market for a running back, the Bills. Yeah. I mean, they're like, I feel like they're running back away from
offensive,
you know,
line a little bit too. You got,
yeah, you know they have a couple plugs, but you know,
but no, getting Von Miller back next year, and you know, they got they're not that, honestly. I just think where they fucked up was not getting rid of McDermott.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, he's winning, and I mean, yeah, it's hard to justify to the fan base.
Also losing when it matters, coach.
Yeah, you're right.
And you look at the last two, egregious,
awful.
I mean, the Chiefs game. I don't know, what was it, 18 seconds or whatever it was, and you lose the game. Mm-hmm. And then, too, coach, they looked terrible against the Dolphins with Skylar Thompson at quarterback and barely won that first-round game, which is very questionable. And then you put on the field what you did against the Bengals where you were out-coached, out-played, out-everything.
Yes.
And you got your teammate who had that such a shocking thing and, you know, happen, and it's just
right. –
You know, and I do think
you would have thought they were rallied around them, but you know, I mean, you look, that's still your home stadium. Snow is part of the deal. I mean, you know, it shouldn't have affected you as much, you know, as the visiting team. I know it's Cincinnati, they get just as much snow, but you know,
yeah.
I haven't agreed with Sammy a lot lately, but I agree with one thing he said. If it's playoffs, it should be either in fair weather or inside, because it's just, there's too much at stake and too many athletes on the field.
That's not football, man. Football, you play unless there's lightning.
But and also you know from a fan's perspective, you know, I'm paying $300-$400 to go to a regular season game and freeze my ass off. I'm sure, you know, they're probably paying thousands of dollars to go freeze their ass off. You know, I mean, yeah. I think all the I agree with you. All the stadiums should be in a dome. And, you know, hey, put a retractable roof. So when it's nice, you can open it. But when it's bad weather, close it up.
That's not football, coach. And I agree with you. But how about that field at the Super Bowl? It was ridiculous. Yeah, everybody was slipping and sliding. That was
the last play. Jaden could throw it hard because he slipped.
I know. Yeah. He stepped on. I think he thought he stepped on Kelsey's foot. But yeah,
no, he slipped. You could see. He was like, "Oh shit!" Yeah, that's why I only went 40 yards. Yeah.
And what's funny too is Goodell said his whole state of the NFL conference brought up officiating, how it's better than it's ever been. And then look what happens. They got to fix it. Because fans are getting really tired of it. I mean, the whole NFL rigged is just stupid, but it's true. There's a lot of times these refs really just screw the pooch.
My problem is, during a regular season game, there's three angles, but in a playoff game, there's 86 different camera angles, and you can slow it down to fit whatever narrative you want. That holding call, you had to freeze the frame just to see the shirt move so that you could justify calling the hold. But the naked eye, I just don't understand. Because I personally feel like that second fumble picked up touchdown that was obviously called back, I thought he made a football move. Mm. He got the ball. He took two steps.
It was close.
He didn't take two steps. He turned.
He did. No, he took two steps. He took two steps.
He took two steps. But they slowed it down so much to see the ball wiggle a little bit.
Yeah.
And say, oh, it's incomplete. That bothers me,
Coach.
I mean,
in our defense, though, too, that Devontae Smith, they were there for 5 minutes looking at that, and it's like, I don't think there's no way. I think, and this is what I feel. They said, okay, I think most likely it wasn't a catch, so we're just going to call it. There's no way you could say indisputable visible.
Right, I agree because
– the referee on the telecast said that, and you overturn that. And
because that was more of a catch than the one they gave to Goddard.
No, Goddard's going out of bounds. Goddard's was a catch. He got the ball, and his toe was still down, and he secured it finally. That, to me, was a catch. I think both of them you couldn't overturn, that's my point. They overturned the one, and how about the one thing too? It's like they went to run a play and they stopped it because they said the Chiefs didn't have time to the thing, and then Andy Reid challenged. I'm like, what the fuck
is going on here?
Are you trying? That's where the shit is.
No, because here's the rule though.
Somebody got
the official. So when you run that hurry up, so they have a chance to substitute. No,
it wasn't a hurry up. It's because somebody got knocked over on the sidelines. That's why. That's why they stopped it.
All right.
They said when somebody gets knocked over on the sidelines, they get time to, I don't know, don't ask me.
Adjust or something.
Yeah. They screwed the pooch. And like I said, the Eagles had plenty of opportunities. And there's no doubt about it. The defense was disappointing. But it still doesn't matter. That shouldn't have been called. And if the shoe was on the other foot, the Chiefs fans would have been up and roaring.
I'm telling you, the game is too fast for these older refs. We see it at the high school over here in Delaware.
Yeah, you're right. Dan, I agree with that. You're right.
I think
it was
3 years ago you said that. I looked at you. I was like, wait, what? And yeah.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. It is. It's getting too fast. And part of the problem, I blame officials because I umpire baseball. And so I'm in it. And these old guys don't take anybody under their wing. Nope. They can't, they don't try to bring a young guy up and help them along and guide them. They're more worried about, oh, this guy's stealing my job. Is stealing my money and being selfish. Exactly. And in turn, you're just ruining the game. Ruining the game. And I mean, that's one of the reasons I used to umpire all over the freaking state of Delaware in there. And I can't do it anymore because these guys are horrible.
Is a lot of referees, they won't say it. And sometimes it could be subconsciously. But if they don't like somebody or they think you showed them up.
But also, let me tell you, you know what? We shove a microphone in everybody's face and wanting to know what the problem is. Why don't these officials have to come to the podium and explain themselves just like everybody else does after a game?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm tired of it.
The guy who remember he ruined the perfect game for the pitcher with Detroit.
Yeah,
and he owned it afterwards. Yep. He said, "I feel terrible. I missed the call." And you know what? I think fans are like, you know what? Hey,
right? You would get less blowback, but just standing up and saying, "Hey, my bad. I screwed up." You know?
Yeah.
But there is enough technology. Like, why do we still have the chains in football? Why is there still the chains?
That's how I feel about the strike zone in baseball, coach. And I know you
no, like, no, that's different. That's not different. Different. It is
why,
different.
Though?
It is
why, different. When you have it on TV that shows what the strike zone, are you going to leave it to an ump who can fuck up a game?
Because
why? What's
because,
the point?
Because you have professional hitters when they know exactly where that is.
But it doesn't always happen.
Yes,
like that,
it does. It
no,
does.
It There's
does.
Plenty of guys who are all over the place. And then for one team, it'll be this bullshit, coach. That should be. All hey, it's, this is it should be, and you're a clown because he's an umpire, doesn't want to lose his fucking job.
That's not it. That's not the case. I don't feel
Coach
like there
lose
should
his
be
fucking beer money, bro.
Hey, listen,
listen. The problem. We have a chip in tennis. We have a chip in tennis to know if the ball is in or out, but we don't have a chip in a football to know it, where it should be marked.
Here's the problem with all that and doing all that. Technology is something until technology stops working. So you sit there and you want to have a computer do it and all this other stuff. Technology is something until it stops working.
Yeah. Well, with balls and strikes, how would it not work, Billy?
It misfunctions. Boom, way up here. Ball, strike.
It's better than some ump who the ball's fucking... You know, the guy that have to fucking have a bat and like be fucking 8 feet tall to reach it to the outside.
No, and that is not the case. Okay, at that level. I mean, I've seen it at the you know, middle school, high school level where some guy's doing that. But you know, I mean, look, me personally, I'm not gonna make you swing at a ball in the dirt or over your head. But when I see you take that practice swing and you know what? That ball's a little bit near the black on the outside corner. I'm calling it a strike, man. I'm sorry.
All right, but coach, here's my point too. And you know it too. There is such a difference between just a 2-1 and a 1-2 count. Such a difference, because now at 1-2, you have to protect because the third strike, you know, you're out. And so just that one pitch is a huge difference. That's my point, though, and there's no point. Then you know what? Then get rid of the damn thing on the telecast, because all I know is that drives me crazy.
And also, why do we have these old these officials? Oh, let's go to Mike Ferreira, and half the time he's wrong because they, you know, oh, this should be a penalty here, and then they don't call it like he says it. You know, what is it? He's just stealing money. Just, you know, stop.
90% of them are.
Coach, if they called you up, you'd be looking at
that. Absolutely. I'd be right there. Yeah.
Coach would probably do it for $100 a game.
Yeah, that's right. Man. What do you get? $100
Three
a game.
Three tickets and a hot dog.
Hey, I get to go to the game and I get some hot dogs, man.
Coach would never be right.
And I get some beer, man.
Free coffee at the game.
Yeah. Coach, you got to
coffee. You better be giving me free beer. You better be giving me free beer.
Podcast, you know?
Oh man.
So now what do you guys think? I mean, going into next year, because that's the thing with the Eagles. I mean, Hurts will get a contract, but he's still, you know, on his deal next year. And I really think the Eagles, to me, it's like, I wonder if you load up for next year. You know what I mean? Because I mean, it's wide open for him in the NFC. I mean, yeah, San Francisco will be back, but I do think, man, I just don't know that you go with, you know, I wasn't impressed with Lance. What was his name? Trey Lance.
Yeah.
And then other than that, like, I just don't see, you know, who can catch up to him. You know, I really think the Eagles are good. And they're the clear-cut favorite in the NFC.
I agree.
Now, look. Injuries can happen. There's a lot of things that are out of your hands that could happen. But to me, I just wonder if you're the Eagles, you know, do you really try to go for it again next year? Let's see what happens with some retirements and things like that. But yeah, I think they have a real good shot.
I agree. I agree, even though, you know, it pains me to say it. But, you know, I mean, you know, because the Giants are still a distant second. Let's face it, they're made strides. I mean,
I put them behind the Cowboys.
You know,
sorry.
Well, I don't know about that, but you know,
they got a better defense and they got a better quarterback. I mean, not that Dak's great, but you know,
I don't know. Dak had more, but Daniel Jones had a better passer rating than you know, QBR was better than Dak this year.
The guy who's killing computers now is killing the computer. the team who I really think could be dangerous is the Lions.
I was just going to say that. Yeah.
I mean, they're tough.
Because let me tell you, Brett, I think Aaron Rodgers is gone. They
started 2-7 and finished 9-8. So that's, you know, 7-1 down the stretch. And they're gritty. And you look at their losses. They played the Eagles to the end, 38-35 in week one. They barely lost to the Bills on Thanksgiving. And that's their one loss down the stretch. You know, I like Detroit. I really do.
I agree with you. And once Aaron Rodgers is gone, that division is theirs, because I have no faith in, or nobody does anyway, in what's his name there in Minnesota.
Yeah, and you got a good offensive line. Jared Goff had no interceptions the last 2.5 months. You got St. Brown at receiver. You got Jamal Williams at running back. And
Swift, yep.
And the defense played a lot better down the stretch. Now, they still need help on defense, Bill. You're right. But Hutchinson was a really good pick from Michigan. He showed out last year. And to me, if Gardner isn't the rookie of the year, it's probably Hutchinson. But, you know, a couple pieces on defense and the Lions are dangerous.
Hey, Coach, where'd you say he was from again?
That school in the north.
Oh, okay, Michigan. You're right. Michigan.
Well, I'm sorry. What time is it?
Where's TCU at?
not 9:15. It's where? Yeah, what? 9:15. It's still Michigan still sucks.
And Ohio State still can't beat us. Get out of here. Get out of here.
Mm-hmm. Ohio State won like 13 straight, and they lost the last two.
And here we go.
Oh man.
Hey, all I gotta say is watch out for Penn State next year. They're gonna be good. They got the highest quarterback that they've had since Hackenberg. I know Hackenberg didn't work out. You got the two young running backs coming out. There was a lineman who was going to be a first-round pick who came back. Yeah, Penn State's going to be good next year. We'll
Nevada,
see.
Nevada, you don't even believe that.
I do. I believe it.
All right.
And Michigan.
All right, everyone.
My God.
Thank you. Thanks for joining us. And we're going to go on a little break, and then we're going to come back at the draft and do our little draft show and, you know, go hang out, and then we'll be back. So we appreciate you. Everybody stay tuned, be safe, and, you know, hey, share it with your friends, and, you know, we'll see everybody during the draft.
Yes, indeed.
Be good.
Peace out.
The coach's breakdown of all the players.